testimony.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say I had talked with Patty Hinsky yesterday, and some of you are aware that the first of the week she had some really high blood pressure, and we were quite concerned about her. So I called and I wanted to talk to her, make sure she was doing okay. And I think, Pat, that you got a message from her and told the prayer people. I want the prayer people to know, especially, that by 11 o'clock Wednesday morning, her blood pressure was down.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
We think sometimes, you know, we pray, but God does answer.
Yes, He does.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? We got something going here, Carol.
I have a cousin that's 2 years younger than me, and she has cancer. And I had made a special trip to go see her, and I was never able to meet with her, to pray with her, but the Lord really put it on my heart. Well, yesterday when we went to the memorial service, she was there, and I got to lay hands on her.
Praise God.
And rebuke the cancer and speak life to her.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, Kathleen.
I've just been having a lot of wonderful, special times of fellowship with the Lord this week. I mean, you know, you do it all week, but just several times this week, just wonderful, wonderful times of just praise and worship, just popping in some CDs and getting some carpet time, and it's just really blessed me. And I don't know, God's just so good, you know, being in His presence. So.
Amen.
Skip it.
Getting some carpet time.
I love that carpet. Pastor and I went by to see Audrey, and you know, sometimes you think you're going to go be a blessing, you know, and then you receive a blessing. That's exactly what happened with us. She seemed to be blessed by our presence, but boy, you know, she just overflowing in the Lord. Even her arm. I mean, we got pictures when they took those staples out. It was frightening. But she's just in good spirits and really believe in the Lord to do supernatural things. Even during this time of, you know, the having to be quiet, she's receiving from the Lord. It just blessed the heart.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And on that note, I've got a card for Audrey over here if anybody wants to sign.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Karen?
Yes, I just wanted to say that, you know, when we think about healing, and of course, like she was saying, God really answers prayers. And when we're praying, you know, sometimes we think, okay, God, you're not doing it immediately. But, you know, God is always, He always is doing something. And it
right.
may not be exactly when we want.
Right.
So last year when I went, because I had, my hands were starting to really get stiff, especially in the mornings, and oh my goodness, I'm getting this osteoarthritis. And I went to a rheumatologist. She said, oh, yeah, it's osteoarthritis. And my wellness doctor in Houston, she said, yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take that as a challenge because my God is bigger than anything.
That's right.
And amen. Last week, and I've, of course, been praying, but I've been seeing my hands as healed. I haven't been thinking, oh, dear God, when are they going to get healed? I've been seeing my hands healed. And so last week, sometime, I don't even know when it was, I told my husband, I said, honey, I said, there's no pain in my, and I have not had pain for a couple of
weeks. Hallelujah.
No pain in my hands.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Good testimonies, huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. If I were to ask you a question this morning, I want you to give me an answer. Okay? And I'm going to ask you this question. Give me the simplest definition of a Christian that you can think of. What would you say? Faithful, loves Jesus, follower of God. Anybody else?
Bonnie says an obedient.
Obedient, okay. Anybody else?
Just joined the war.
Somebody that just joined the war. Amen. Guy? One who moves in God's presence. Okay. Amen. Good answers. Not quite the one I'm looking for. We were close. I think we heard a follower of God. Okay. Here you go. Say that again. Amen. So a definition, a easy, simple definition of a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. Right? In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon Peter, and he saw his brother Andrew. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Then the scripture goes on to say that he continued down the beach for a little bit, and he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat of Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and
followed
him. Followed him. So I believe that even the scripture, the way it's written, gives us a very simple definition of a Christian as being a follower of Jesus Christ. You with me? Then Jesus commented in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Follow me. Amen? So what does following Jesus involve? What does it involve? Well, from what we just mentioned, plus a scripture I'm going to get to in just one second, amen, it actually makes us, for all practical purposes, a servant of Jesus Christ. A follower is also a servant of Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 12, verse 26 with me. Just look up here on the screen. "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Amen? So we see that Jesus typically thought that of his followers as servants. Right? The Word's telling us to follow him, and Jesus declares that his followers are servants. We're servants of Jesus. So if we're truly striving to be followers of Jesus, if we are committed to being successful followers of Jesus, then according to the Word of God, we must become his servant. His servant. Logical progression. You all with me? Amen? Amen? So let me ask you, brothers and sisters, as born-again Christians, shouldn't we all want to be successful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen?
Amen? Absolutely. But how do we become successful servants? Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, I want to suggest four steps for us to take to become a successful servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. These four simple steps, they will completely change our life if we follow them. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Amen. First of all, we need to develop a servant mentality. A servant mentality. Develop a servant mentality. It only makes sense that this would be the first step in becoming a successful servant, right? To get our mind in agreement with what we believe to be proper and right. Get our mind thinking that. So if we're going to serve God, you must have a servant's mentality or a thought process or a conscious mindset, or a determined will that says, "My purpose here on earth is to serve God." Amen? Right up here. We need to know that my purpose here on earth is to serve God. But if you do that, you must also recognize that it is God who is in charge of everything. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're His servants. But God is in charge of everything, and realizing that fact will force us into a true revelation about our real value in life. Now, it's true that God loves us. He elevates us. Hallelujah. He blesses us. He does all these things, but compared to Him, what are we in life? We're His servant. We're His servant, folks. Amen? Consequently, and here's the hard part in our society today, we must denounce the me thinking, right? Denounce the me thinking and adopt the Him, not singing Him, but Him, H-I-M, thinking in our life. We say no to me and we say yes to Him, right? It only makes sense that our position as servants is below the master.
Amen?
Amen? Below the master. Now, I'm most assured that most of the folks in this room realize their position in relation to God, but the world doesn't understand this. The world does not understand it, and the world does not embrace it. Right? So, consequently, you live in the world. And the world is very influential to your fleshly desires. It loves your flesh. Therefore, it can be very threatening or dangerous or difficult for a Christian to operate as a servant of God. Right? Come on. I'd like some agreement here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So we must be on our guard to maintain a servant mentality, keeping our flesh under control, and always remembering that the world does not revolve around us.
Amen.
The world revolves around Him. Amen? Amen? So, folks, we know everything that happens in this world is not about you or me. We're here to serve God. Not the other way around.
Amen.
Amen? We're here to serve God, not the other way around. Consequently, our pattern of thinking should reflect a servant's mentality. First step.
That's right. Amen. Right.
You need to think that you're a servant.
Get your mind
need to think.
Is that getting our mind renewed?
Amen.
Amen.
Now, follow me along with me in Matthew 10:24. It says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Right? You with me, folks? Amen? Now listen to the way the Message Bible puts this same verse. It says, a student doesn't get a better desk than her teacher. And a laborer doesn't make more money than his boss. Right? Is that good? That's good. So the question to each of us this morning is, in your basic understanding, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You are definitely not the boss of the universe. Neither are you the master of the world. Obviously, then, our thinking must concur with this declaration, I am a servant of the King. I am a servant of the King.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say it with me. I am a servant of the King. Amen. Jesus, we know, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the creator of the universe. He sets the stars in place and controls everything with His mighty power. He gives life and sustains life. He is above all and in all. He was and is, and yet He ever will be, He ever shall be. And at the end of time, which is the beginning of eternity, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Amen. Give Him a hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, let me give it to you straight. A successful servant will reflect this thinking. A successful servant will reflect this thinking. A successful servant will give of their time, their energy, their resources, their money, their expertise, etc. For what reason? To glorify God. To glorify God. Our Savior and Lord will become the center of the servant's actions. Oh, what am I going to do today? Maybe I'll lay out in the sun and get a tan today. We've got to stop the me thinking. What am I going to do today? Whatever God's got for me to do. I'm His servant. Is that right? Come on. Amen. Amen. All right. So the servant's ultimate purpose for living is to please his master, Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Amen. And this is the first step in becoming a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's extremely hard. Yes. It's extremely hard. Now, I'm going to give you an option. We can stop right here. Or do you want to hear more?
More. Please.
We can go home. We had church when we had worship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The second step in becoming a successful servant is having a determination to serve. A determination to serve. It's not enough just to have a servant's mentality. You must become determined to serve, determined to help. Amen? Look at me, with me, at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 4. I got a lot of scripture, so you may just want to read it up here. But it says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints." So the churches in Macedonia contributed much in their determination to help Paul's ministry. In fact, they would let nothing hinder them from their helping. Nothing. It didn't matter about the affliction they were suffering, and it didn't matter about the poverty they themselves endured. The church was determined to help by giving all that they had. Giving, right? Obviously, these churches were servants of Jesus Christ. Obviously, these churches were givers. Do you know what I found through these years of ministry? I have found that there are three types of givers. Three types. I'm not going to tell you which type you are. You figure it out for yourself, okay? First type of givers are those that give because they can. They have an abundance, and they give out of their abundance. You with me? Second type of givers are those who are able to give, but don't. Oh, perhaps they give a token from time to time so they don't appear or look stingy in front of others, right? Now, these folks have enough to give, yet for whatever reason, they decide not to. Whatever reason. Could it be that they've not taken the first step in becoming a Christian? They still have a me-centered mentality rather than a Christ-centered mentality? Amen? The third type of givers are those who have very little but still give what they have. Still give from what they have. So they give sacrificially. Amen? Everything they give is a sacrifice. Now, in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, Jesus talks about this. He said, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how much the people put money into the treasury. Many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which made a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself, and he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Her whole livelihood. Saints, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus recognizes and he honors sacrificial giving. He honors it. It goes throughout history, this little lady giving what she had. So to be a successful servant of God, you must develop a determination to help others, even to the point of giving sacrificially. Even to that point. Doesn't mean that you got to give until it hurts, but you got to be willing to give until it hurts, right? Amen? That's the servant. That's the servant mentality. We all know what the Scripture declares. God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
He loves that, right? So, brothers and sisters, give, give, give. Amen? You cannot outgive God. Amen. You cannot. So, to be the servant we know Jesus wants us to be, we must have a determination to help. A determination. Now, I want to review here. I'm trying to do this very step by step, every T crossed and every I dotted, so that we get this, right? We need to change our mindset, become that servant, and we need to develop a determination to serve, whatever the cost. And there's cost. Great cost. Okay, we're still going forward? Yes. Going to the third step. The third step, becoming a successful servant of God, is making a commitment to follow God. Well, Brother Jerry, that only makes sense. Every one of us who sits here today is following someone or something. Think about that for just a moment. Some of us listen to a friend's advice. Others will pay attention to the opinions of so-called experts. Still, some may follow family customs. Perhaps we just follow the accepted social norm. Whatever's the normal, whatever most people accept. But all of us follow something. We follow something. So here's a simple rule for you to live by. A successful servant of Jesus Christ follows God. Follows God. Let's break that down. What does it mean to follow God? Well, this is not rocket science, so I'm able to tell you. Right? Do what he says. Do what he says. Here's the key point, so listen carefully. You will never be a successful servant of God if you don't do what he tells you to do. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says this, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." Okay? Now I want to look at what the Message Bible says about this same verse. "Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. act on what you hear. Act on what you hear. So to follow the Lord, it involves three things. The first one is trust. You need to trust the Lord. The second one is obedience. And the third one is willingness to take a risk. Willingness to take a risk. Do you remember, and I'm sure you will, the story that Jesus told in Matthew 25? I'm going to look at verses 14 through 30, but I'm going to read this from the Message Bible, right? It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one he gave $5,000. To another, $2,000, and to a third one, $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. Wow. The second did the same. But the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him. "Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner." Wow. Be my partner. The servant with the 2,000 showed how he also had doubled his master's investment. The master commended him. "Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner." The servant given 1,000 said, "Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent." The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. Terrible way. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the thousand and give it to the one who risked the most. And get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him into outer darkness. Did you see that, hear that last line? Get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb, throw him into outer darkness. So a successful follower of God will make a commitment to trust that God is in charge. These three things again, right? Obey God's word, then walk in faith. Faith is a risk. Walking in faith is a risk. Amen? But it's wherever obedience to the word will take us. Wherever he wants to take us. All right? So you've done great here, folks. Fixing to get into number 4. You've done great. You're hanging in there. I hope you're learning something. How do you, or what's the last step in becoming a successful servant of Jesus Christ? Listen to me real good. Start where you are.
Amen.
Start where you are. Many people wait for the right time or the right place. Yep. Allow me to share something with you. The right time to serve is now. The right place to serve is here, right? Where you are, where you'll be tomorrow, where you'll be Thursday, where you are today. The minute you start meeting the needs around you, you become an active and successful servant of Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to Matthew 25 again, but we're going to go from verse 31 to 46, and I'm going to read out of the Message again. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation." And here's why. Here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. That was me." Amen. Then he will turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and say, "Get out, worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell." And why? "Because I was hungry, and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was homeless, and you gave me no bed. I was shivering, and you gave me no clothes. Sick and in prison, and you never visited." Then those goats are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help?" He will answer them, "I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you fail to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. And you failed to do it to me." Then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. There are two groups. One was the servants of Jesus, and the other was servants of self. Successful servants serve. Successful servants serve. It's in their nature to serve. It's in their nature, folks. Understanding these principles, there's another simple rule to live by. If you want to find good workers, find people who are working. Right? Good workers work. The same is true with servants. Good servants serve. So successful servants serve where they are. And folks, you don't have to go halfway around the world to find someone in need. All you got to do is look at the person next to you. You see, sometimes God places certain people right next to us for purpose. He's constantly wanting his servants to serve. And he gives us the opportunities over and over again. Right? He likes to give people the opportunity to do something significant. He can't push you. You have a free will. But he sure can make the opportunity available. Right? Amen? Someday I want Jesus to say these words to me. Well done, good and faithful servant. And you were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of a lot of things. Amen? I think all of us want Jesus to say that to us when we stand there on that day of judgment. So, folks, there's no better time than now to serve. No better place to serve than right where you are. Right where you are. Turning Point Church can be filled with successful servants. Right? We can be filled, amen? So we must develop a servant's mentality, right? Number one. Servant's mentality. Number two, we need to add determination to that servanthood. We're going to serve. We're going to do. Amen? And then we just follow him through trust and obedience and even risk as we walk in faith. There's a risk to walk in faith. Right? And finally, we start serving now, today,
here and now.
Here and now, right where you are. Some of you could serve right here before you leave today. Before you leave. God has given you opportunities to do exactly that. Amen. Time is getting short, folks. We know that.
Amen.
We know that. And we just need to get busy for the Master.
Amen.
Need to get busy. We can know that the time is getting short and not do anything. Really. Or we can understand that it's getting short and do something. I don't want to be a goat. The goats, they knew what was going on and they chose not to do it. Folks, allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct you where you go, who you serve. Right? Say no to flesh. He's poured out his unfailing love on us. Songs we sang in worship talked about how much he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And he does that so we can pour out that love to others. Amen. It's that simple. That simple. When we serve them, we're serving him. When we serve them, we're serving him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Can we magnify him this morning? Just give him praise a minute. Come on. Come on, let's just praise him a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to stand a minute. I believe there's probably some needs in this house today. If you need prayer, I don't care what the reason is. If you need prayer this morning before we leave,